Give us wisdom before we speak, understanding while we listen, sensitivity towards those we meet, and the perspective of your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you were uplifted by listening to the passage from Isaiah 35 whilst watching those images, which reflected his wonderful poetic words. Parts of Isaiah are for me some of the most inspiring and hopeful words of the Old Testament. During this season of Advent, all our Old Testament readings are from Isaiah, culminating on Christmas Day with those evocative words from chapter 9, which include, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Prince of Peace." The poetic passage we heard this morning is sandwiched between two chapters that contrast greatly with it. In chapter 34, Isaiah predicts judgment against the nations, and in chapter 36, recounts attacks by the Assyrians on the cities of Judah and threats to destroy Jerusalem. So amidst destruction and fear, we are reminded of God's promise to save those who continue to turn to him and trust in him, even when all the evidence is against us. Sandwiched as it is between two seemingly hopeless events, it's perhaps a little bit like when on a dull and depressing winter's day, we catch a glimmer of sunshine, which fills our spirits and reminds us of a brighter and better days. One of the images we saw during the reading was that of desperate refugees crowded behind barbed wire, barring their way to their hoped-for freedom from fear. I chose that specifically because it reminds us that today there are many millions of people who have feeble hands, knees that give way, and fearful hearts. So how can passages like Isaiah 35 bring hope to people such as these, as well as those closer to home who live in fear for different reasons? Fear of losing their mind, their health, their livelihood, their homes, fear of abuse or loneliness. The list could go on. In part, the answer can be found in our Advent season, which alongside the more challenging themes of judgment, death, and hell, is the overarching theme of hope. The hope of what is to come, fulfilled in the coming of Jesus as a baby in Bethlehem, and the hope of his coming again at some unspecified time, when pictorially the desert and the parched land will be glad, the wilderness will rejoice and blossom, and they will see the glory and splendour of our God. Without hope, we lose our way in life. Without hope, we sink into despair. Without hope, we lose faith in ourselves and in others. So hope is vital to our well-being, and no doubt alongside desperation, what carries refugees forward is hope. Hope for a better life. Hope for safety for themselves and their families. Hope for the future. The hope that is found in Isaiah is ultimately the hope that is fulfilled through our Lord Jesus Christ. Holding on to the hope in the face of adversity can be very difficult and require a great deal of waiting. I was recently struck when hearing the Archbishop of York, John Sentinel, on Radio 2 describe Advent as the season of active and focused waiting. Active and focused waiting. I don't know about you, but I'm not that good at waiting. If I have to wait for something, I'm much better if I have something to do while I wait. It's not so bad when I know how long my wait will be. That's why when I wait for the park and ride bus outside Bedford Hospital each Tuesday, I'm so thankful for the display that counts down to when the next bus is due. I sometimes test myself by trying not to look at it. But more often or not, I can't resist. For the hospital patients I've visited, waiting is one of the greatest frustrations. Waiting for a wash, waiting for medication, waiting for someone to respond to their buzzer, and most trying of all, waiting to be discharged. They have little or idea of how long their waits will last and have no control over the length of their wait. Perhaps our Advent waiting is like this. Time limited by the 25th of December celebrations, but open-ended as we wait for Christ's second coming. In the letter from James to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations we heard this morning, he urges his fellow believers in Jesus to be patient and stand firm, to wait as a farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. Seasons have to come and go before farmers' efforts will be rewarded. So it will be for those early Christians who expected Jesus' return to be imminent. To encourage his fellow believers, James reminds them of the prophets who persevered and eventually saw what the Lord, who is full of compassion and mercy, finally brought about. It's fitting that having begun by focusing on one of the greatest Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, who painted that wonderful word picture of hope, that we also focus on the New Testament prophet, John the Baptist. In today's reading from Matthew, John has already been falsely imprisoned by Herod. From where he sends his followers to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" John is understandably puzzled by the way Jesus is behaving. Not as the powerful conqueror that he and the wider Jewish people were hoping for and expecting to release them from the grip of their oppressors. But here was a healer, a friend of the poor and sinners. This unexpected Jesus is the one who will continue to surprise many by his actions and teachings, culminating in his unexpected ride into Jerusalem, not on a chariot, but on a donkey, leading to his subsequent arrest and death on the cross. It's not surprising, then, that John has questions about Jesus. Not surprising, then, that in the 2,000 years since then, people have questioned whether Jesus was and is the promised Messiah. we look to Jesus' response to John's question by quoting from today's Isaiah passage verses 5 and 6. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Jesus also reassures the crowd that John is the prophet, quoting from another Old Testament prophet, Malachi, would be God's messenger who he would send ahead of him, who would prepare the way before him. We are also to be reassured and to be ready to reassure others who question that Jesus is the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us now and in the future. In these last 2 weeks of Advent, may we all be blessed by active and focused waiting. Amen.